is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porther with you on this Monday morning. Breaking down a 40-14 loss by the Titans last night to the Packers. They dropped to 10-5 on the season, remain in first place in the AFC South with still an opportunity to win against Houston on Sunday and clinch the division for the first time since 2008. But certainly a disappointing game last night at Lambeau Field. And they just struggled really in every aspect of the game. And Joe, we've talked a lot about the offense in the game last night, the struggles of Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry never really able to get going on the ground. But let's kind of flip gears to coaching real quick. You think about the first drive, the Packers are already up 6-0. The Titans come down the field, they're moving the ball down the field, and you get to fourth down. It's on the 33-yard line, and the Titans make the decision to punt the ball. You get what they're trying to do. They're trying to pin Aaron Rodgers and that Green Bay offense deep in their own territory to make them drive the length of the field in the snow. But the ball ends up going in the end zone. They get the ball at the 20. At the end of the day, it's a net of, I think, 13 yards on the play. Maybe better off going for it on fourth down there. Maybe better off the play before setting it up on 3rd and 7 and getting it to 4th and 3, 4th and 4, somewhere in that neighborhood, and taking your chances that way. That's a decision people had an issue with last night from Mike Vrabel. You think back to what was ultimately out of his control with the bad call on the sideline, or non-call in this case, of Aaron Jones stepping out of bounds. The Packers got up to the line of scrimmage. They snapped the ball very quickly after that, but Vrabel did not throw his challenge flag in time on that play. So as you evaluate those decisions and just how unprepared the team looked to begin that game, how much blame goes on Mike Vrabel and this coaching staff for what we saw last night with the Titans and just how they were never really competitive in that game against Green Bay?
Well, coach and quarterback always get more, more of the blame and the credit, right, than maybe they should. I mean, you have to. I mean, bottom line is you perform like that, it goes to the head coach. I would say, you could always make the case. Some people say, well, whichever team wins, that team's coach outcoached the other coach, right? Okay, which I don't totally buy at all. But I would argue last night that Matt LaFleur outcoached Mike Vrabel. Absolutely. I mean, I think Matt LaFleur had a really good plan. And again, you go back to the broadcast, really interesting to hear Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth talk about LaFleur saying that they had some plays in that they just wouldn't even try against other teams. So, I mean, he understood.
That does not make you feel great about the Titans defense.
No, it's like, hey, let's just have a play where Aaron just stands back there for a while and we'll run all these crisscrossing routes, and 8 seconds in, we'll finally, he'll finally have his first read. I mean, I don't know what those plays were, but that was interesting. But I just thought defensively, the Packers had a great plan, and a plan that I would not expect to work as well as it did, but it did work. So I think I really want to hear what Jared says about Matt LaFleur, who last I knew, he still thought was an idiot. I mean, you're a Packers fan. Does Matt LaFleur deserve some credit yet for what he's doing there with the Packers? I feel like that was a pretty well-coached team last night.
It's 25-6 and doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And they've got an opportunity to go 13-3 2 years in a row.
So and this is a situation where, actually, LaFleur is kind of like the Tannehill of coaches. People don't want to give him credit because he has Aaron Rodgers, just like they don't want to give Tannehill credit because he has Derrick Henry. But he's awfully good. And Vrabel, it was a bad night. I mean, we got a My buddy Luke Worsham asked the question about the flag and the, it was like a combo question about the challenge flag, which again, like, I mean, look, he didn't see the replay. I mean, those are tough spots,
yeah.
You know, if he would have seen it, I think he throws it right away. But I have a hard time making a big deal out of that one. But he asked about that and about the punt, which I think absolutely is a good second guessing moment on punting from the 32. And Vrabel gave the got to coach better, got to play better line, which he'll tend to do from time to time. But yeah, it was a bad night for them, for him, no doubt about it. I mean, he got out coached.
I feel like on the Aaron Jones play, if that play happens on the Titan sideline, Vrabel is 1,000% throwing the challenge flag.
But yeah, I think so.
It's on the other end of the field, it's snowing, and the fact that NBC waited like 30 seconds to show the replay.
Right.
I mean, you could blame maybe his spotter up in the press box, but if their only feed is NBC, I mean, they did not show that replay until Rodgers was snapping that football.
Well, you're right. And like, if that play is on the other sideline, I mean, the Titans sideline is going nuts that he stepped out of bounds. I mean, Green Bay, right. They didn't move. They just let him keep going. And then, look, I think I would have to think that Jones knew he stepped out of bounds because they got up to the line of scrimmage in a hurry on that play after that and snapped the ball. But I agree with you, Porth. Like, if that play is on the other sideline, I think Vrabel's throwing that challenge flag without hesitation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, that was – I mean, so that's one of those where, you know, coaches, we keep track of how they do on challenges and all that stuff. That was just a bad situation. That was a tough break. You know, that's a play where the official needs to make the dang call, the right call that's right in front of his face, and you don't have the problem. But I really didn't like the punt at all early in the game. And I think, yeah, look, I do think that there's a case to be made with this team now. Vrabel has been very good with the clock and with the doubling up strategy. I mean, he has been – it's worked out well a few times this year. But, man, if you are that hapless on defense and you are basically just signing up for a 7-0 deficit right away, maybe you think about getting the ball first.
Yeah, and look, the part that is going to continue to be a conversation about this team and about this coaching staff is what's happening defensively on that side of the ball. And you heard Corey Curtis from News 2 talk about it with us earlier in the show. Like, I get it. Personnel-wise, especially at outside linebacker, this team is just not equipped to rush the passer. But you do still have Harold Landry. You do still have Jeffrey Simmons. You have Kenny Vaccaro. You have guys that, regardless of how you've gotten them there, they've gotten to the quarterback in the past. And it does just kind of feel like nobody's even approaching that right now. So I get it. The Titans, from a personnel standpoint, they are bad in the pass rushing department. I still don't think they're this bad. Like, I don't think 15 sacks in 15 games is justifiable with the talent that's on the field. So I do buy what Corey's saying there is, look, I don't think that it's the same as last year in terms of, you know, getting to the quarterback. They were, I think, well into the 30s last year in terms of sacks. They're not going to approach that this year. But I do think the scheme has got to be part of it at this point. Like, I get it. You're not good. The players aren't great. But the scheme has got to be a part of it, and Vrabel takes responsibility for that.
Oh, there's no doubt. And responsibility for, yeah, we don't need a coordinator. Let's kind of make Shane sort of the coordinator, and we'll go from there. I mean, no, I mean, that's absolutely – I mean, no, last year they had 43 sacks.
Yeah.
They had 43 sacks last year with, you know, basically – I mean, what's the difference personnel-wise? Jarrell Casey, you know, who had maybe – what did he have, 3 or 4? You know, Landry had more last year. He has 4.5 this year, which is obviously, to me, an indication of the fact that he just has no help. But you're going from 43 to 15. That's incredible. John Glennon had this stat last week. He said the franchise record low, I think, is 31. Okay.
Not even astounding. Halfway there. Oh my God.
You got 15 sacks. And again, you are going to set the NFL record after Sunday for the worst third down defense in NFL history. I mean, like, this is stuff that just incredible. And again, for a 10-5 team,
yeah,
that's about to win the division. But like, it's just, you know, look, you go in this postseason and who knows? I mean, they could outscore on a good day a lot of teams that are going to be in the bracket. I do believe that, okay, at their best. But it's just setting up to be this, my goodness, all you had to do was figure out how to be okay. All you had to do is figure out a way to be not terrible. And you haven't been terrible on defense. That's the crazy thing. It's not like there's been this bad defensive team for years, like, oh, God, they just can't get out of this rut. They've been pretty good. So then we take it all the way around. How could it not be coaching? It's personnel. It's John Robinson whiffing and whiffing again to find a pass rush for sure. But it's absolutely coaching too. It has to be.
And this goes back to something that I've been harping on all year. Robbie, you brought it up earlier in the show, which is this great Titans offense feels like it at some point along the line here in the next few weeks is going to be wasted because of the defense and the ineptitude on that side of the ball. And the troubling part of that for me is that there's no guarantee that Corey Davis is back, no yep. guarantee that Arthur Smith is back, no guarantee that Jonnu Smith is back. I would be hard-pressed to say that all three are all going to be back. And there's no guarantee that this Titans offense, even though you would have Tannehill, Henry, and Brown going into 2021 and beyond, that this Titans offense is ever going to be as high-scoring as it is in its current form.
No, but there's also no guarantee that those players stay healthy. Like, Tannehill's been hurt in his career.
Or in their prime.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, I mean, he's been durable, but dude takes a lot of hits. A.J. Brown's hurt right now. I mean, he's playing through it, but I know you've lost Taylor Lewan. I know that you haven't been just, like, injury-free on that side of the ball. But in terms of, like, your key skill positions, Tannehill's been healthy. Henry's been healthy. A.J. Brown, relatively speaking, has been healthy. I mean, that's pretty good luck throughout the season that those three guys and those three positions are healthy. That's not a guarantee in this league. We know that, and who knows? Like, we assume that this Titans offense is going to be productive for the next few years to come. But, Joe, this league turns on you in a hurry. I mean, there's no guarantee that that happens next year.
Right. I mean, you got to have the right mix. And, again, you think about coming off last year when I think a lot of people looked at the Titans like, eh, fluky, 9-7. But, really, they were a team that transformed into a really dangerous team, a really good team worthy of getting far in the postseason. And so it was a go for it off season. I mean, it's like you make the right 3-4 moves here and this team might really have something, might be right there. And it's just incredible. It's actually incredible given how bad the offseason was that again, this team is 10-5,
yeah.
But I also still would never have guessed that this defense could be this bad this year. I mean, again, we're talking about historically bad defense, kind of just falling off a cliff, you know, not stopping the run. Players who either have been great players or at least improving good players like Rashawn Evans, you know, taking big steps backward. I mean, all of it is just, it's hard to figure out, really.
It really is, and we've talked a lot about the coaching here in this segment. When we come back, we'll get to another problem that I think is cropping up more and more with this Titans team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that I think has to do with coaching. That's coming up next. But first, I got a word from FanDuel. And let me tell you, there's a really good special going on tonight on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Buffalo and New England facing off in a Monday night showdown. And FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you the chance to get an even bigger win when you bet the game. For every 2,500 fans who bet on Buffalo to cover, FanDuel Sportsbook will move the line 1 point in Buffalo's favor. So there's no limit on how good the line can get. As long as enough fans keep betting, the line keeps on moving, and best of all, will pay you at whatever the line lands at by kickoff, so you don't have to wait to get in on the action. Now, the last time I looked was the last segment. The line right now is plus 95 for Buffalo. So I feel great about Buffalo being able to cover the spread at plus 95. I'm not sure the Patriots have scored 95 points all season long. You got to feel good. They're basically giving away money with this offer. So if you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, just look for the Spread the Love market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, then here's your chance to start betting on FanDuel with incredible odds. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code ROB. That's R-O-B. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Must wager in designated crowdfunding market. The max wager is $50. Payout at minus 110. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
So third down and 10, can they do it right here? Pressure is put on, and a little dump pass is caught, but they will hold him.
They blitzed him just nonstop.
Defense number 54, 5-yard penalty, automatic first down.
What do you kind of tell him after that play goes down?
I think that you guys have heard me long enough talk about penalties, and that would go under the category of not doing dumb stuff that hurts the team.
Stupid boy.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nice bump, Porth. Great country song.
It's an underrated song.
One of those songs that Joe Rex Road would love in the country music sphere. Keith Urban, Joe.
That's an underrated song, huh? Okay.
One of Keith Urban's best.
It doesn't sound like it was quite
also
up your alley.
Interesting. Yeah, that sounded like country music.
God bless. Oh, Joe Rexroad continues to hate country music here
you know
on the program.
What, Joe, you can just take your Beatles and
shove
go
it.
Run with it.
Just shove it.
And I will enjoy Keith Urban.
Mm. Wow. You're going to go after the Beatles, huh?
Jeez.
Beatles,
I mean, you could
and
make fun of, like.
That was the first band I could think of that I know that you love. So.
Yeah, you could, like, you know, you go after, like, Hall & Oates or Steely Dan or something. I mean, my Twitter account has the Hall & Oates helpline on it. So
it does.
You know, that'd be an easier band to make fun of.
I saw that.
It's actually very nice.
Your Twitter account, and I was like, oh, man, like, The Athletic has a hotline? How about that? And then you told me about it one day, so I called it. It is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. In fact, Titans fans, you know, if you're feeling a little bit glum today, 719-266-2837. This has been on my Twitter account for, I think, since I started my Twitter account.
Yeah.
Call it up, and random Hall & Oates song will play. You will feel better.
That's what we're here for today. Just spreading a little Christmas cheer after the holiday. So you heard the highlight there coming back in from break. It's a third down. The Titans have gotten off the field defensively. It's only 6-0 at that time in the game. And then all of a sudden, Rashawn Evans called for an illegal hands to the face penalty. And you go back and you look at it. And number one, I think you can make a good case that Bakhtiari is holding Rashawn Evans on that play. It went uncalled. But there's no doubt Rashawn Evans has his hands in the face of Bakhtiari for probably about 7 seconds during that play on third down. And it's just one of those things that leave you scratching your head and just frustrated as a Titans fan. And we've talked about Rashawn Evans, how underwhelming he's been on the field, other than in goal line situations where he turns into like this human torpedo out there and stops people on the goal line. I think it's been a really disappointing year for Rashawn Evans. And stuff like this, you know, these penalties, personal fouls, hands to the face, it's becoming way too common with Rashawn Evans. And that's a discipline problem to me. I think some of that's on Mike Vrabel as well, but you heard him talk about it. He's had this conversation with his players. It goes back to not doing dumb stuff to hurt the team. And that was just a killer last night for the Titans. You're finding a way to get off the field. It's 6-0. You still feel like you're in the game. All of a sudden, you give them a free first down, and they just go down right down the field, score a touchdown, and it's 12-0. I mean, it's a huge play in the game.
Yeah, it is. It's a big, big play because, you know, again, stops for this Titans defense. They are like, you know, little puddles of water in the desert at times, and especially against that offense. And that was a big moment for them. Okay, you know, you didn't quite get it done on that first offensive drive. You know, you punted in the end zone, but you're going to get the ball right back. And you had some offensive momentum. And then to give it right back to them, then they go down and score. I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, gosh, there's not that much there. But then it's like, yeah, I mean, you got to know that you can't do that. And it, like you said, Robbie, it was for an extended period of time. Now, was it holding? It probably was. But, of course, the Packers don't commit penalties, apparently, yeah, according to NFL officials.
Very clean game in the snow.
Yeah, but you can't – I mean, I think back to, like, was it the Monday Night Football opener, right? Rashawn Evans, you know, punches a guy and gets kicked out of the game, like, which is weird. This is not something that has really been a thing for him that I can recall in his first two seasons. doing stuff like this, but he's had a few of them this year.
No, like the Cleveland game, personal foul penalties. I mean, it's not just a Rashawn Evans thing, but he has been guilty of it way too many times this year in crucial situations.
And it's just weird because it kind of coincides with him also just apparently taking a step back as a player. How much of that step back is, you know, related to so many things about this defense being worse? You know, I'm sure some, but again, like, he's one of those guys you spent a high pick on. Now it's his third year. This is when you hope a guy like that comes into his own and becomes a next level of player. And instead it's gone the other way. And when that happens, well, that contributes to a defense taking a collective step back. It's really hard to understand. It's puzzling, but I would say that, you know, I mean, his future to me, it looks a little different than I certainly thought going into this year.
Well, and that's what I was going to get to. Like the bad part is if you're a Titans fan, I think there's a good chance that Jayon Brown's not on this team next year and the Rashawn Evans is going to be. And right now, I don't know a single Titans fan that would not make that trade of, hey, let's get rid of Rashawn Evans and make sure we keep Jayon Brown around. But just from a financial standpoint, with Corey Davis in the mix, Jonnu Smith in the mix, I just don't know if they're going to be able to keep Jonnu Smith. And if Rashawn Evans continues to play like this and just totally disappear at times, they got a big problem at linebacker. They really do.
They do. You know, and I think, it's you go down that list, like, what are the priorities? We were just talking earlier on the show about who you might lose on offense, how this is just that special group where you have Davis and Brown and Smith all together. Now, of course, you don't have Lawan on the field right now, but, you know, this is a special group. It's going to be hard to keep it all together. If you prioritize that, then you have to give up something else. I mean, I guess I could see John Robinson looking at it the other way, like, you know what, every possible thing you can do to help this defense, that's what we're prioritizing. So Jayon Brown's getting paid and, you know, drafting all defense and whatever, maybe. And then you still hope you're really good on offense without some of those other guys. But I mean, those are the tough choices. But like you said, when you have guys on their rookie deals who you spent a first round pick on and then, you know, show a lot of promise in those first 2 years, what exactly has happened here? I mean, Jim Haslett is the inside linebackers coach. Is he the problem? I mean, I don't know. Jayon Brown was having a rough season early too, but then he really, I thought, was playing some great football before he got hurt. And I like what David Long's doing largely. I don't think he's built for last night's kind of game, and we saw some of that. But it's very – that's one of the areas in this team that was supposed to be a strength, and it has not been.
Well, that's the crazy part to me about not only Evans, but the defense as a whole. And you saw it again last night. Like, the Packers go for two – they hand the ball off to Jones right up the middle on the goal line, and the Titans just stuff it. And they can't stop anything on any other part of the field. But you get to the goal line, and all of a sudden Rashawn Evans turns into like Ray Lewis, and nobody can move the ball, run the ball on this Titans defense. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like it. A defense this bad everywhere else on the field, and then you get on the goal line, and they're really, really good.
And it's him. I mean, he's the guy who in space and in various situations – has struggled this year, but in those situations, like when you know what's coming and it's just rally up and explode, he's unbelievable. He's a elite athlete, you know? I mean, he is a specimen, he's a presence physically. But yeah, everywhere else it just hasn't been good enough. And again, like all of a sudden you add in making these plays, these decisions that hurt your team. Last night was not nearly as egregious as some of the other ones. It was very costly, but, you know, I mean, a hands to the face while getting held, I mean, that's a lot more excusable than some of the other stuff, but it all adds up together to just be this really confusing season.
There was an area of the Titans defense that we thought the last few weeks was starting to get better, and then last night may have reached a new low on the season. We'll discuss what that is next and how do the Titans go about fixing it as they move forward. That's coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The toss out to Adams, and Adams dives.
Mahomes. Does he get in? He does. Touchdown. Dillon stays in. The play fake to him. And then Rodgers will go for the touchdown and does. And the throw into the end zone is hauled in by Adams for the touchdown.
It was a rough night last night for the Titans defense. And partially, I think, Joe, we expected some of it heading into the game. Aaron Rodgers, he's been great this year. Probably the best football that he's ever played. I think firmly in the MVP conversation, and in my opinion, I think probably took the lead in the MVP conversation yesterday with his performance against the Titans, coupled with Patrick Mahomes' performance against the Falcons yesterday. So you knew going into the game that Rodgers was going to get his yards, he was going to have time to throw, and Davante Adams was going to get open. All of those things happened. Rodgers finished his 21 of 25, 231, four touchdowns, just one pick on the day as well. Great play by Malcolm Butler on that play. Davante Adams finishes with 11 catches, 142 yards, and three touchdowns on 12 targets. So he did whatever he wanted to do against the Titans defense yesterday. But Joe, I thought there was an area that the Titans had been making progress in the past few weeks, and that was the running game. And you look at this game, it was tailor-made, I think, from both sides to attack the game on the ground. Jamal Williams was out. He's been a productive back this year for the Packers. So it was basically Aaron Jones and then A.J. Dillon, who was the second-round pick for the Packers in the draft. He's the third-string running back and really hasn't seen the field a whole lot this year due to the two guys in front of him, and also he dealt with COVID for about a month and a half with the Packers. So a lot of unknowns about A.J. Dillon in this game. And to me, Joe, that's the most disappointing part about the Titans' defense and their performance last night. I knew what I was going to get from the pass rush. It wasn't going to be there. I knew they'd have trouble covering Davante Adams. But to just let Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon just annihilate them on the ground, I didn't expect that to happen to that extent last night. I mean, if you take Tim Boyle's three kneel downs at the end of the game out of the equation last night, you've got 34 rushes for the Packers and 237 yards. I mean, that's just getting shredded on the ground.
Yeah, and it hasn't – I can't remember the last time they really struggled. They had earlier in the year, certainly, they had some struggles stopping the run. That was a big part of the issue. But I guess the Lions, you know, did more against them than you would have liked to have seen. But still, that was a game – and again, that's where guys like Rashawn Evans – Jeffrey Simmons, Daquan Jones, you know, there's guys up there where you expect this team should be able to be solid and sound and have the proper run fits and set the edge. And even if you don't have pass rush, at least you can do that, right? And they got bullied. I mean, they just got, you know, inside in the interior a few times, the Packers, you know, in short yardage situations. I mean, it wasn't even, you know, the Titans good at the goal line, but it's weird because other parts of the field, it's like, you know, that they've given those up a lot, I feel like, this year, but especially last night, it was no contest. So, you know, it's like the Packers took advantage of, you know, the conditions and played like the Titans want to play and did it better than the Titans.
Yeah. And look, I mean, in the Titans defense, you're not going to see a whole lot of offensive lines that are better than Green Bay's. I mean, you've got Bakhtiari, Lindsley, and Elgton Jenkins there, all of which are Pro Bowl level players. So that's a heck of a thing to go up against on the line. But we had a texter text this in earlier on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and it just seems like Jeffrey Simmons in the past few weeks has disappeared. You don't notice him a lot. He's made a lot of impactful plays this year for the Titans defensively, even on a defense that struggled as much as they have. And it's just been a very quiet couple of weeks from Jeffrey Simmons. And I watched that game last night, and I don't really remember noticing Jeffrey Simmons at all in that game. Like, he usually has at least a play or two in the game where you're like, okay, there's Jeffrey Simmons. He's in the backfield. He's wreaking havoc. He's causing disruption. He's tipping a ball at the line of scrimmage. I can't think of one last night from Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, he had a solo tackle and assist in the game, and I agree. I did not notice him. Now look, opposing teams have, because of the lack of help around him, have been able to focus on him this year. This is part of, you go all the way back to the offseason, I was really intrigued to watch a healthy full season of Jeffrey Simmons next to Jarrell Casey and what that would have looked like. And then, of course, we never got to find out. But it seems like early in the year, and now let's remember, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is taking these. You talked earlier in the show, Robbie, about, man, what would it have been like to, you know, to give A.J. Brown that ankle off and some of these other guys. I mean, Simmons is a guy who has been out of practice knee many days in the past few weeks. You know, he's on that maintenance plan and comes back on the field late in the week usually, and then he plays in the game and he plays a ton of snaps. But, you know, I'm sure that that's some kind of a factor here too. If you're missing that much practice, it's got to be bothering you. But, I mean, he is not impacting the game the way he was early in the year, doubled or not. And, again, it's just all adds up to this very kind of soft, feeble front seven.
It does. And, look, we know what this defense is. It's not good. It's been bad all season long, and it's going to continue to be a problem for the Titans as they move forward here. And if you're Vrabel and this coaching staff, like, I think you have to be honest with yourself and know that at this point. So I'm interested, you know, if the Titans are able to take care of business and get things done on Sunday against Houston and find a way into the playoffs, how does the defense affect the way you coach? Because to me, like, things that happened last night, like punting the ball from the 32 in the snow against Green Bay, when you know that touchdowns are going to be so important in a game like that, like, I think the defense has got to affect the way that you coach. Like, you've got to be naturally more aggressive and probably take more risks as an offense when you know that your defense is just so problematic for you and there's so little margin for error. So I'm interested, like, once you get into the playoffs, if you're the Titans, assuming that they take care of business on Sunday and you're going up against some of these elite teams in the NFL, I wonder how the coaching staff approaches this from a play-calling standpoint, because it's got to be in the back of their mind that you've got to be more aggressive, you've got to find a way to get to 30, 35 points just to give yourself a chance to win the game. And I know Vrabel will never admit that in public, but that's got to be a part of the conversation in private, at least I would guess.
Sure. And, you know, if things work out the way they want them to work out, when things are really working for this team – not only are the Titans getting chunk plays and scoring points and, you know, sometimes they have quick drives, but they also have those 8-minute drives where they're balanced, they're mixing the run and the pass, and they're – I mean, that's the best thing you can do. Is the best thing this defense can possibly be is on the sideline. You know, any chance you have to put them over there, you take it. I mean, this offense is designed to help. And, again, like, this offense – paired with a solid defense would be something to behold, you know. But I agree. I think you've got to, if you're this coaching staff, you got to think in those terms, probably be more aggressive, maybe take chances that you wouldn't otherwise. And then, of course, you got to devote a whole bunch of your time to just figuring out some way to take those 11 players and get one of them to affect a quarterback every now and then. I mean, that's, again, like, you got to be, I mean, this going from 43 sacks to 15 sacks with basically the same personnel, you know, that's just astounding to me. And so that's a huge part of the story. Yes, like we said earlier, it's not all sacks, right? Like Corey Kurtz made the point, it's not all sacks. I get mad, sacks, that's one thing. Okay, affect the quarterback. And then when you do get a sack, what does that do for you? And that's a huge loss. You're going to get a stop probably on that series. They've done it 15 times this year. It means quite a bit. So you also have to, coaching-wise, figure out some way to get pressure, which is much easier said than done.
It is, and that's, you know, we know that about this team, and we know how difficult it is for them to generate pass rush. But that's why I go back to the performance for Green Bay on the ground last night. Like, that's the most discouraging part to me if I'm a Titans fan, is because we know what it is through the air. Like, they've just struggled to cover long enough with the lack of pass rush, and that's going to continue to be a challenge. But to just get totally gashed like that on the ground, especially when you look at this roster, and a lot of these guys have been a part of really good run defenses before, like Kenny Vaccaro, Kevin Byard, Jeffrey Simmons up the middle, even Rashawn Evans in the running game. Like, they've stopped the run before, and it just looked like last night at times they had no idea what they were doing out there. They weren't taking the right angles. That again comes back to coaching for me. Like, I just don't believe that these guys have totally forgotten how to stop the run, And even when Clowney was in earlier this year, we talked about the pass rush not being there. But one of the things he's been great at in his career is being a great run stopper. We didn't see any of that when Clowney was in. And it goes back to what Corey brought up earlier with us from News 2 in the show of, did all these guys just forget how to stop the run? Did all these guys just forget how to play defense? Or is the coaching a big part of this? And that, to me, that was so disappointing last night from the running game on defense from the Titans.
Yeah, and you have to look at, like, coaching. Like, how important is it? Like, is it like, not stressing fundamentals? I mean, I know Vrabel's huge on that. You know, even whether he has a D coordinator or not, he's meticulous about fundamentals and working with individuals on things like that. But you're right. At times, it looks like they just don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Vrabel talked about it last night after the game. I think he mentioned it a couple times. You know, knowing where your help is. This is, like, one of those defensive cliches, but it's so true. Like, where are your teammates? So play it that way. And the Titans weren't doing that. They're letting, you know, Davante Adams take the sideline on that first touchdown, for example, and other plays like that too. It's just, and you know, sometimes I do wonder, like, is there a confidence? I asked Byard about this last night. Like, is there confidence still with this defense that you can turn it around? I mean, we don't think they will. But, like, do they even have the confidence? And he said, look, I'd tell you if guys were hanging their heads, you know, guys are being aggressive and confident. And I believe him. I don't think, again, that, like, they're not playing with effort or that they are going out there all mopey and not trying. But I do think that when you have success, it builds its confidence like this offense has had all year. And when you keep failing, the opposite effect can happen. And I think this whole team doesn't realistically have confidence that they're going to get a stop when they need a stop.
So even though that's a bad loss last night for the Titans at Green Bay, they're still sitting in pretty good position heading into this week against Houston. A win and you're in game. You win the division for the first time since 2008. When we come back, we'll take a look at a crazy weekend in the AFC and dissect what the playoff picture looks like right now. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we've talked all show long about the loss last night for the Titans against Green Bay, but not all bad news for the Titans yesterday. They fall to 10-5, but the Indianapolis Colts also fall to 10-5 yesterday with a loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Joe, it was interesting because the first part of that game, Indy was totally dominating Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger looked as lost as last year's Easter egg, and it didn't look like anything was going to go right for the Steelers. They looked terrible. And then the roles just reversed in the second half. Indy can't get anything done offensively. Phillip Rivers throws a death interception that we saw in the second half of that game, and Roethlisberger comes right back down the field, and Pittsburgh gets the win. A crazy game yesterday in Pittsburgh, and the Steelers doing the Titans a huge favor when it looked like to start that game that Indy was going to run away with it.
That was a stunning game. Stunning. I mean, it was 24-7, and I was like, this is going to be just an utter humiliation of the Steelers. They looked like they had no chance on either side of the ball, up front on either side of the ball, let alone the way Roethlisberger was playing. And, I mean, if you're the Colts right now, you should be a Jacksonville Jaguars win. A win over the Jaguars away from winning the AFC South. Instead, you are now out of the playoff picture, which is just – I mean, they've got a win. Now, they still – you know, I mean, if the Titans, Ravens, Browns, or Dolphins lose, they will get in, but there's a good chance all four of those teams win.
There is, and, you know, the Browns, a stunner. They lost to the Jets on Sunday. Now, the night before, news comes out that basically no wide receivers are going to be available for Baker Mayfield in that game due to COVID-19. But all of a sudden, the New York Jets, Joe, they're one of the hottest teams in football, just rolling along. They beat the Rams. They beat the Browns. A bad loss for the Browns. They dropped to 10-5, now in seventh. And it looked like yesterday, for a minute, that they could have a chance to go win the AFC North with Pittsburgh struggling the way that they were, and everything just flipped on a dime for the Browns. Pittsburgh comes back, and they lost to the New York Jets. Not a good day for Cleveland yesterday.
Like, how, like, our favorite Browns fan, Chris Martel, like, how excited was he about that AFC North title for a few moments yesterday? Because early on, the Jets are winning, But it's like, okay, fine. The Jets are winning.
Right.
We'll come back and it'll run all over them and it'll be fine. And meanwhile, the Steelers are getting thumped. Oh, my gosh, the opportunity is here. Then, yeah, the Jets just keep winning. Just bizarre. I understand Baker didn't have his receivers, but that's still a dismal performance by them. So now they are, you know, they are not in a great spot. They do have the head-to-head against the Colts. You know, but the thing is, they, you know, it's interesting because, like, the stakes at the top of this bracket, you know, the Steelers right now, they would be the three. Does it really matter to be the two or the three? Like, how much do they care about that? Because that's, I mean, if they care, then I don't have any faith in the Browns to ever beat them in a game that they care about. But in the meantime, if you're the Titans and you look at this whole situation, you know, if the Bills can lose one of these two games, you got a chance here to be in that three. And to me, it's way better to be in the 2-3 and then be like set up to play, to go, have to go to Pittsburgh if you win, versus being right now in the 4-5 situation. And of course, if you win that first game at home, go to Kansas City.
Yeah. And then you thought, I mean, we could be having a different conversation today, regardless of the way the Packers game turned out. Because it looked like the Dolphins were going to lose to the Raiders, and then all of a sudden the Titans would have a playoff spot clinched at that point anyway. And then the Raiders screw things up in a way that only John Gruden and the Raiders can. Fitzmagic comes in there. He gets his head ripped off, completes a pass anyway, and the Dolphins come back to win that game 26-25. And right now, if the season ended today, and we know it doesn't, the Titans would be the 4, the Dolphins would be the 5, and that would be the opening round matchup in the playoffs.
As someone who took the Raiders on the money line, I could not believe the last couple minutes of that game. Could not believe it.
Oh, it was rough. But, man, was it entertaining.
Incredible. The fact that you'd even – I mean, you let them have that play and you get the face, man. I mean, that's just – of course, you know, it was also incredible that the Dolphins gave up what they did too. That was just a wild finish. But, yeah, I mean, after all that, the Titans could have been in the playoffs 100% as of Saturday night. And instead, they still are not assured of the playoffs right now. It would take a whole bunch of stuff. But, I mean, the Dolphins winning, certainly possible, especially if the Bills don't have anything to play for next week. Colts over the Jags, Ravens are going to win, I think. I mean, you know, if you those three things, very likely to happen. So, comes down to, can you not blow it against the Texans?
So here's the standings. You've got Kansas City at number 1, 14-1, and they clinched yesterday home field throughout the AFC playoffs, even though it was a struggle yesterday for the Chiefs against the Falcons. Pittsburgh holds on to the number 2 spot at 12-3. Buffalo plays tonight. They're at 11-3 at number 3. The Titans at 4 right now, 10-5. Miami at 5. Baltimore at 6. Cleveland at 7. And Indy outside looking in right now at number 8. And the Titans, the Dolphins, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Colts, all at 10-5. So it is just insane that there's another playoff spot this year. Like, you've added a spot. There are now 7 teams from both sides getting in, and you're at 10-5 going into the last week of the season. And like you said, Joe, the playoffs, while likely for the Titans, not a guarantee at this point, it's just a crazy year in the AFC.
Yeah, and the NFC, you might have a 6-10, you know, playoff team. And yeah, so you got a 10-5 team right now, the Colts, who are not in. By the way, to be clear on the Bills situation with the Titans, they have the tiebreaker. Bills have to lose both. So Bills have to lose to New England, and then they would have to lose to the Dolphins playing to get in the playoffs. If that happens and the Titans win, then the Titans. So tonight you'll know, you know, if the Bills beat New England tonight, then the Titans are best case the 4 seed.
Right.
You know, but you know, obviously getting that home playoff game would still be pretty great thing 12 years after the last time it happened.
And I got to tell you, like, I know that we've seen the Ravens against the Titans the last few years, and the Titans have gotten the better of that matchup, and that still very well may be the matchup based on the Titans' defense that is most advantageous for them. But I'll say this, the Ravens are playing a lot better right now. Offensively, they look pretty good. Now, I realize the competition has not been great for the Ravens the past few weeks. Right now, they look pretty good. Lamar Jackson moving the ball up and down the field.
No, and they got that running game back. You know, and then, like, the Giants have not been terrible on D. The Ravens have got that running game going again. And, you know, we'll see. It's just a very different situation for them. I think they're going to get in. And the Titans have, if you look at it from the Titans' perspective, they've matched up well with them. I don't think anyone really wants to mess with them right now. It's a very different from being the one and sitting out and, you know, coming out with all the expectations. They could be dangerous.
Ryan Porth, you still don't look like you're much of a believer in the Ravens.
I want to see them do it against a good team. And they had a great performance against the Browns on Monday Night Football a few weeks ago, but the defense also looked very shaky that night. So I don't really know what to make of them right now. They're beating up on the bad teams. They're winning the games that they should win, so congrats to them. But I still have a seed of doubt about them going into the playoffs. Now, if they play Pittsburgh, I would 100% expect them to beat the Steelers on Wild Card Weekend. Because the way the Steelers are playing, and the fact that the Ravens lost the first two games of the year to the Steelers.
Even after the dramatic comeback yesterday by Pittsburgh.
Okay. Yes. Yes. But if they play Buffalo, I would feel pretty good about the Bills in that game.
Okay.
That'd be a fun game. I would actually be really intrigued by that matchup. That would be fascinating.
Let's go to our text line driven by Wilson
County.
By the
way, guys, I need to apologize. Oh, go ahead.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sam texts in and says, the best case scenario for the Titans is to win plus a Dolphins win next week. Then we need someone to upset Pittsburgh so the playoffs can get reseeded and you avoid the Chiefs in the second round. What do you make of the Dolphins winning next week, Titans winning next week, 4-5 matchup? I like it. Ryan Tannehill revenge tour game?
Yeah. I don't think that's a – I mean, look, the Dolphins have a good D, but I think the Titans in their stadium, you know, I think that – I like them against any D, honestly, on most days. And I don't think that offense is – honestly, I think I like the Titans' chances better if Tua plays, if that's the matchup.
Wow, a lot of respect coming from Rex Rhodes' way to Ryan Fitzmagic.
Well, look, that guy will throw you some just ridiculous picks and all that, but they were flat out better with him at the end of that game. They made the switch, and that's why they won that game. So, but, yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a terrible matchup for the Titans, if that's how it goes.
No, I think at this point I would agree. Even though Baltimore, they've matched up well against them, if I'm the Titans, first off, take care of business against Houston on Sunday. But secondly, maybe the matchup being the Dolphins in that game, you take that right now if you're a Titans fan. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I hear you. I'm interested to see what sort of decision they make at quarterback with Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think they might stick with Fitzpatrick and just see how it goes here. But going to be an interesting final weekend of NFL football in the regular season. And we'll be here to talk about it all week. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.